Well, good morning. How's everyone doing today? You're looking good out there. We're going to have a great morning, a great service. I appreciate our youth and their music this morning. Really blessed my heart. Thank you guys for that. And thank you for having the boldness to just get up. You know, some of us need more boldness, don't we? Some of y'all need to come on out of hiding, you singers out there. Leslie, remember I was teasing you yesterday or the other day? I'm not teasing, Leslie. You know, we've been praying this past week. We got together and been praying about our trunk or treat this week or in a few weeks. And we have decided that we're going to make trunk or treat, we're going to make that particular day, October 31st, about you ministering to your neighborhoods and community. And we've come up with some ideas, but what we're going to do, we're going to shift a little bit. We're going to change some gears. We are going to have a gathering up here on that Sunday prior, which is the 29th. Thank you very much. On the 29th, we'll get up here. We're going to have a bonfire. We're planning all kinds of little activities. We're going to have tug of war. We're going to have all kinds of fun stuff like that. So I hope that you will come and be a part of that. It's just going to be a family get together. You can invite friends to it. We'll have music, and it'll just be a lot of fun, just kind of a hometown bonfire gathering that Sunday, okay? And so you'll hear more information about that. We just decided this to shift gears. So many people said, you know, I really like to be out among in the community, and we got to praying about it more, and we felt like it would be a good idea to do that. And so here's another thing that we're going to do. We're going to provide in the weeks ahead these little cards. We're going to be praying over these cards as a way to minister to children that come to your door, and you can staple these little cards as sort of an invitation to Bear Creek, but also an encouragement for them and for their families. And you can staple those little cards to your candy and give them out, and it'll be a blessing. Sound good? Did you know, and I'll talk more about this as we get closer, but did you know that on October 31st is Reformation Sunday, which means the Great Reformation happened when Martin Luther nailed his thesis to the Wittenberg Church in Germany. And am I saying that right? Yeah. So, and this is the 500th anniversary of that. I'm going to share a little bit more of that as we get closer, but this is a special month for the Protestant church, nationwide, worldwide, really. So, sometimes I have a joke for y'all. So, you ready for this one? And you better laugh at this, okay? A boy came in late to church one Sunday morning. Knowing he was usually very prompt, his Bible study teacher asked him, "Johnny, is everything okay?" "No, ma'am, not really," he said. "I was going to go fishing today, but my daddy made me get up early and go to church." The teacher was very impressed and asked Johnny if his father had explained to him why it was so important to go to church rather than go fishing. And he said, "Yes, ma'am. My daddy said he didn't have enough bait for the both of us." Turn with me. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 45. Chapter 45. I wonder how many people from our church are out fishing today when they should be in church. Genesis chapter 45. You know, when I look back at my life and some of the decisions that I've made in my past and some of the problems that I have gotten myself into in my lifetime and the struggles I've had in my past and the different things that that have really brought me up to this point in my life, I've been able to look back now, after the fact, and see how God's hand was in it, even when I was younger and And it's interesting, you know, even when I'm up here playing guitar, I've really used the guitar and used music for many years as a way to sort of give back to God. But, you know, when I was a teenager, it wasn't very God-honoring music. It was actually very dark. And but God had turned that for the good. And I just celebrate that. I praise the Lord for it. He's used that, though. And he used that skill, so to speak, to carry and use it for his glory later on. And I pray, because I know that we all have similar experiences to that, that we can look back, excuse me, we can look back at our past and look back at just how God has worked. But let me ask you something. Have you been able to look at your current situation and maybe a current struggle and maybe a current just situation that you're going through and say, God, I'm going to trust that you're in this, and I'm going to trust that you're a part of this? How has God used you? How has God used those situations? That's what we're going to talk about today. You know, we all go through this, but here's the question. Do we see God's purpose in our experiences? Do we see God's purpose in our experiences? Are we sensitive to him? Are we listening to him? And it's tragic when we watch people give up hope, and it's tragic when we see people get stuck. It drives me crazy, really. When I, as a pastor, see people kind of moving along, life circumstances happen, they sort of drift, and their faith begins to drift, and they sort of stray off and get their minds and all their heart and attention back on the world instead of what God is doing in their lives. And it just breaks my heart to see that, and it's just tragic to me. You know, God intends to use our journey called life to shape us to be more like him. And he intends to use our circumstances and our situations to shape us for his glory. And when it comes to faith, the difference between a successful person who is living out his or her destiny and a person that is sort of just wandering and drifting along can really be traced back to how that person has viewed their experiences and handled their experiences and their sensitivity to God in those experiences. It's really in the perspective, isn't it, how they see them. And if you're here today and you're sort of stuck or you sort of have drifted away, my prayer today is that when we crack open the Word of God, you will receive it like bread of life. And you'll receive it like God is speaking to you in this moment, because maybe you're here for a reason today. And maybe God is wanting to speak into your heart today. There's a reason that you're in this place. God intends for his people to view their experiences, the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? All the experiences of life through the lens of his purpose, through the lens of purpose. And even the tragedy, even all the detours that, I mean, how many of y'all have been through some detours in your life? You all better raise your hand. All of you. You know you have. Yeah, Brendan, good job, Brendan. Because that's what we consider to be these moments in our lives. And sometimes those detours send us far away from God or move us closer. He intends for them to move us closer to him. Amen? And so we got to be sensitive. We got to be careful how you manage and mismanage these detours is going to make all the difference in the world to you and your walk with the Lord. I'm going to say that again. How you manage and or mismanage these detours and these experiences is going to make all the difference in the world. You could get stuck at that moment, or you could learn something and God could speak a fresh word into your life in that moment and continue to move you forward. Or it could be a teaching moment where you sort of give up and you just get stuck there for a period of time until you're ready to listen to God and move forward. You know that you've been there before. And we got to stop this. You know, listen, whatever path you have traveled, God can and he will use it for the good. He can use it. He can use your present time. He can use your past. He can use it all. And you got to believe that. You know, you see these banners up here on the wall. We want to encourage everyone in this church to worship, grow, and serve. Worship on Sunday at 11 o'clock. Grow in a life group and serve in a ministry. Why? Is it because we just want to just churchify you? No. It's because we want you to grow in your relationship with Jesus. And I think these markers, these three markers, is we need to be able to ask ourselves this question. Am I growing? Am I a fully devoted follower of Jesus? Am I worshiping him? Have I surrendered myself to him? Are there moments where I come together and get refreshed and refueled in a moment of worship with my church family? Am I doing that regularly? Am I committed to that? And then am I growing? Am I getting to know him and the power of his resurrection? Am I getting to know myself more? And am I getting to know other people more? And then the last one is serve. And here's what I want to say about serving, because it's very relevant to what we're talking about today, because today we're talking about the purpose test. You know, we looked at that. We're looking at the life of Joseph, and we've made it up to this part. We've seen him pass the pride test and the pit test and the purity test, and today's about the purpose test. And listen, God has you here for a purpose. Until you realize that, life will never make sense to you. You will be the one that drifts and continues to drift. But when you grab hold of it and realize that God has a purpose and a plan for your life, for his glory, not for yours, but for his, then life will begin to make sense. And so one of the things that we do here, and not long ago, I did this on Wednesday night, is we talk about your shape, and I get this from Saddleback Church. We talk about your shape, your spiritual gifts, the giftings that God has given you, your heart. What is your heart? You know, what do you have a passion for? Your attitude. What kind of attitude has God given to you? Your personality. What kind of personality? You know, we all don't have the same personality. Amen. We have diverse personalities. And so what kind of personality has God? What kind of experiences, which is kind of what we're talking about a little bit today, what kind of experiences, this is what SHAPE, the acrostic SHAPE, stands for. What kind of experiences has God given to you to equip you for today and tomorrow? And so we've gone through that. We've studied that to show how important it is for you to understand that, so you know what your ministry in this world is and what your mission is and how you can be used as an instrument of God for your ministry and your mission. You know, we weren't called to just be bystanders. We weren't called to be fans of God. We are called to be disciples, followers of Christ, those who live out our faith, to worship, grow, and serve. And so these situations we find ourselves in, these moments, these seasons of struggle are often tests. And God is testing to see if you are in tune with his purpose for your life. Are you in tune with his purpose for your life? And when we honor him and maintain godly character, we pass this test. And we can move to the next chapter. But maybe some of you have been stuck in the same chapter for the last 20 years. And it's time to move forward. And maybe you're stuck back there because you're not passing one of these tests. And they're really tests of your character and your commitment to the Lord. They're really tests of your spiritual walk. And your maturity hasn't grown for the last 10 years, the last 3 years, 5 years, because you're stuck back here. You haven't passed that test yet. And God is trying to lead you forward. So, you know, there's no story in all of the Bible better in showing a person's purpose and learning a lesson about this than Joseph. I mean, this is such a great story. And I think that you've learned that so far in the last several weeks. And listen, today some of you need to hear this. I want to go back. I'm going to recap some things. My wife tells me, and she's not here right now. She had to run so I can talk about her. I'd do it anyway, right? But she tells me, she's like, you're recapping too much. But I think it's just so important to recap. So that's what I want to do today. Let me recap a little bit. She's not here. She can't gripe about it. But some of you know that Joseph, he was favored by his father. And I guess because he was favored by his father, he was hated by his brothers. They were jealous of him. And so his brothers conspired against him. They hated him. They conspired against him to kill him. But one of his brothers says, no, let's not kill him. Let's sell him off as a slave and we can make some money. And so they did that. They sold him off as a slave. He was taken by some Ishmaelites into Egypt. And when he was taken to Egypt, he was put on the auctioning block, and Potiphar, one of the officers, the chiefs or the Pharaoh's officers, bought him at auction and made him his slave. And then Pharaoh, one of the things that Pharaoh did is he noticed that God's hand was on Joseph and that Joseph had some really incredible skills. And so he put him over his household as a household manager, a steward over all of his household. And while he was there, Potiphar's wife was very attracted to Joseph. And we see how this sort of plays out. One day she grabs him and she says she desires to have him. But Joseph breaks away from her and flees. And he calls, he says, you know, this is evil in God's sight. And he flees. And Joseph passed the purity test. He passed the pit test. And so then she, Potiphar's wife, conspires, just like his brothers conspired against him. She conspires against him. And Potiphar ends up throwing Joseph in prison. Joseph meets these two men, a baker and a cupbearer for the Pharaoh. Pharaoh had thrown these two men in jail. And so Joseph meets these two men. He notices that they're troubled one day, and he says, share with me what you're troubled about. They said, we had this dream. And so Joseph interprets their dream. They end up going on and leaving the jail. And the cupbearer ends up back in the Pharaoh's house. And listen to this. The cupbearer hears that Pharaoh has a dream. And the cupbearer remembers this man in jail that he was able to interpret dreams. And so they pull Joseph out of jail. Joseph goes. He shares with Pharaoh what his dream is. And here's what he says. He says, you will have 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And so the wheat fields will be plenty for 7 years. But for seven years after that, there will be a famine. So he convinces Pharaoh to start saving 20% of the wheat and storing it away. Well, what happens? The famine hits. And all of Joseph's brothers, they're not Egyptians. These are Hebrews, right? They're in Hebron, and they become in need, and they have to go to Egypt because they hear that the Egyptians have extra food, and they want food. They want to go there to receive some of the rationings. And so this is where we pick it up, and here comes his brothers. And Joseph's brothers, they're seeking out this food, and they have no idea that Joseph is even alive. They thought when they sold him into Egypt, sold him as a slave, they thought they would never see him again. They considered him dead. And Joseph finally reveals his identity to his brothers in Genesis chapter 45. And so that's where we pick it up, and let's read this, okay? Chapter 45, verse 3, it says this, and Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. They couldn't even believe it was him. So Joseph said, this is verse 4, Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please. And they came near, and he said, and I can just imagine him looking them in the eye, and he says this, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Did you catch that? And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest, and God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. Isn't that cool? He has made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord over his household and a ruler over all the land of Egypt. That term, father of Pharaoh, he means a lord, one who would act on behalf of Pharaoh. And so I love this. I love this story. And you can see all of this that he has come through, and he's starting to get it. And he finally discovered what his purpose was and why he was there. And he finally began to understand what this dream was all about. Look what it says in verse 5, that he was sent there to preserve life, to preserve life. It was for the greater good. That's why God gave him these dreams. I mentioned this on our Wednesday night. John Cougar Mellencamp, y'all remember him from the 80s? I mean, he's still playing music today. But John Mellencamp, he's called John Mellencamp. He took the cougar out. I guess he's no longer a cougar. But I went and saw him in concert about 5 years ago, and he says this. He was talking about his grandmother, and she was a woman of faith, and she would sit at his bedside and share with him stories. And he says it was like all these little golden nuggets she would give him. And he says he remembers this one thing that she said, and he wrote a song about it. She said this, "John, be sure to take a little while to dream, because your dreams just might save us all." And so he wrote a song, "Take some time to dream, because your dreams might save us all." And you see, Joseph took some time to dream, and God spoke to him through those dreams, and his dream saved his people, moved them into Egypt. And you know the story, right? Because they moved into Egypt, things were well, the Pharaoh dies off, then the people go into bondage, then Moses comes and leads them out of Egypt. There was a purpose behind all this. God had such a plan. His providence was so beautiful when we look back. But it had to be very difficult to be Joseph in the situations that he went through. And I want you to catch this. He wasn't very angry, was he, at his brothers? And what he says to his brothers, there was no vengeance, there was no hatred at his brothers for throwing him in the pit, for selling him off as a slave, considering him dead. There was no animosity towards them. Joseph treated his brothers with mercy and kindness and undeserved favor. Did you notice this as we're reading this story? And you know, here's the question, how does kindness and love and mercy and grace become cultivated in a heart of a person who is so wickedly treated? I mean, you would typically take a person who's been through that much stuff and been mistreated that much by people and falsely accused, conspired against by family members, and you would typically think a person in that kind of a situation would be bitter and angry and have all kinds of insecurities. But listen, here's what we understand about Joseph is as this story plays out and as each event plays out, he is in tune with the Lord, and it says the Lord was with Joseph. We see this constantly. The Lord was with Joseph and gave him favor and success. You see, as we're walking with the Lord and as we're living our lives for his glory, God is walking right beside us. So how in the world could someone in his situation not be bitter and angry? Well, the answer to it is Joseph's theology. And the answer to it is what was happening in this relationship he had with God. It was deep, y'all. It was deep. And this is a young man. It was deep. He had a clear understanding that what his brothers were doing were evil, but that God had a plan. Did you catch that? Let's go back and look at that. Because he told them, what you meant for evil, right? He told them that he knew that they were that their treatment of him was evil. Look at, I want you to put your thumb here and move on to chapter 50, verse 20. I'm going to show you something. he's back with his brothers, and he's speaking to them, and he says this in verse 20, chapter 50, verse 20. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and for your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. He comforted them. He spoke kindly to them. He told them, I will take care of you. I will take care of your children. Why? Because God intended all of this for the good. Isn't it amazing? What I see in this is I see as he sees God in each of his situations, he's not as concerned about the evil that is being done against him. He's not concerned about keeping vendettas and being angry and keeping and being bitter. He's learning. He knows this is the providence of God. God is sending me through this. Listen to this. Isaiah 55:9 says this: For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways, says God, higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Do you understand that today? That God's ways are much greater than your ways. And his thoughts are much greater than your thoughts. And his plans for you are much greater than any plans you could ever conceive. Are you sensitive to him? As you walk this and live out this faith, are you sensitive to him on this journey called life? Every one of us will take this test. Because every one of us have a God-ordained purpose on this earth, and every one of us will take this test. It'll look different, but the question is, will you discover what your purpose is, and will you step into your destiny like Joseph did? That's the question. That's the question. I'll show you something. How many elementary kids or younger do we have in here? Maybe three or four? I'm going to see if I can get somebody, one of you guys, I don't want anybody giving away what this is, okay? If there's an elementary kid in here who can tell me what this is. It's a plunger. Good job. Some of you are going, what in the world? Now, listen, if I didn't know the purpose of this, all right, I would just be left to guess what the purpose of it is, right? Maybe I would think it's some kind of weird club that I would beat someone over the head with. Maybe it's a back scratcher. I don't really know if I want to scratch my back with that, right? Or maybe it's some kind of weird, you know, accordion instrument or a flute. No. So, but here's the deal. God speaks purpose. There's a purpose for everything. He has created such a beautiful purpose for everything, our universe. We look all around us. There's a purpose for the trees. There's a purpose for the sun. There's a purpose for the moon. There's a purpose for the land that we walk on, the water that we see. There's a purpose for everything, and he has a purpose for you. You are not meaningless to God. But not only has he given you a general purpose, he's given you a very specific purpose, and he has shown in Scripture that he has called you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He has a plan for your life. And this is what this had to be that aha moment for Joseph. I love in Genesis 39:3, it says Joseph, and this is early on in his life, it says the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord caused all that he did to prosper. Why? It was because he was faithful. He was faithful, and he trusted the Lord. And I'm going to show you up on the slide. This is just one point, this message today. This is the purpose test. Purpose is about trusting God with my past, my present, and my future to accomplish his plan through me. And so wouldn't you love to just, and keep that up on the screen for a minute, wouldn't you love to just be in a very, or not really love this, but be in a very difficult situation in life and be able to remember this, that my purpose, and maybe the purpose that I'm going through all of this, is that God just wants, he wants me to trust him with everything in my past, everything that's going on right now, because he has a future for me to accomplish his plan for my life. He could use this. What the world and what man meant for evil and intends for evil, God can use it for good. God can use it for good. Paul David Tripp says this, and this is, I'm closing in this with this. He says, without purpose, life is motion without meaning, activity without direction, an event without reason. Without purpose, you are left only to pursue personal fulfillment, emotional stability, and some sort of earthly happiness. But all of that is just self-centeredness and narcissism. So what will you do with the rest of your life? And what will you do with this calling that God has? And listen, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, God has laid out a clear plan in his word on how you can discover your purpose and your meaning and your destiny in this world. And I pray that you'll continue to seek that out and search that. Listen, just trust him. Trust him in the good times and trust him in the bad times. Let's pray. Father, help us to look at the life of Joseph and understand our lives, to see all that he went through and to see that he maintained this attitude of trusting and relying on you even in the tough moments of his life. And I pray, I know that there's someone here today, Lord, that needs this word, that they have disconnected from their purpose and they've fallen into the mundane and the routines of life. God, you called them years ago, but today they're just living the routine. They're living the mundane, and I pray today you'll call them out. And you'll speak new life. You'll speak truth into them, Lord, and get them back on track with what you would have them to do, how you would have them to live for your glory and for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.